This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Knows the End of the Story.
You know, this last Friday, I went out to get my mail in my mailbox, and inside were three magazines and one thick package. Now, the cover of the thick package said this: "Are you feeling down about the state of the world? Read what's inside." Well, as you can see, I still haven't opened it because I'm not sure I need any more bad news. But are you worried about the feeling down about the state of the world? Yes. And then I picked up The Week magazine, and the cover of this news magazine headline is "Playing at Civil War as Extremists and Vigilantes Battle in the Streets. How will this affect the election? Playing at Civil War." So then I picked up the next magazine, which is called Decision Magazine. That's a Christian magazine. And the first article was called "America in Chaos. How did we get here?" So I set that one down, and I picked up Business Week. And the cover of it is "I Survived." And I open it up, and the first article says this: "It's 2020, and everything is broken. The coronavirus is ravaging the globe, the economy is cratered, unemployment has soared, and the killing of George Floyd and other unarmed black men have set off the largest wave of protests since the 1960s. And now those peaceful protests have been taken over by radical right-wing and left-wing groups clashing in the streets." Now, of course, they could have added, in all those things, a lot of other things too, like the hurricanes in the Southwest and the worst wildfires in California history. Friends, we're going through some really tough times right now. And I have been asked many times, more than once, do you think these are the last days? It feels like the world is coming to an end. You know, last week, somebody asked me, how do you stay so positive when there's so much negative news in the world? And I responded, because I know the end of the story. I know the end of the story. I've read the last book of the Bible, and I know how it's all going to end. And we win. We win in the end. If you've ever watched a movie or read a novel where you already knew how it would end, you just don't get as nervous about the tense parts that happen in the middle of the story. And so that's why today, in our series through the book of James, I want us to look at a faith that knows the end of the story. And maybe it'll just relieve a little bit of your tension and anxiety. A faith that knows the end of the story. Now today, we're in part 24 of our series in the book of James, A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, or Principles for Living Through the Pandemic. And as we work our way through the book of James, I need to point out that four times in this book, four different times, James reminds us that Jesus is going to come back to earth one day. He says it four different times. Jesus is going to come back to earth one day. We don't know when that's going to happen. Nobody does. And if anybody claims to know the time when Jesus is coming back, you can know they are dead wrong. But you know what? I've discovered that even most Christians don't realize that there's more information in the Bible about Jesus' second coming to earth than there is in the Bible about Jesus' first coming to earth. Yeah, more information about that. More information about when he's coming in the future than when he came to earth 2,020 years ago at Christmas. You know, I read in one book that almost one out of every four verses in the Bible is related to the future second coming of Jesus and what's going to happen in the future and in heaven. So this is a subject you need to know about. Now, a lot of Christians know that Jesus is going to come back someday, but it doesn't matter to them. Or they think it's unimportant. Or they think it has no relationship to the problems I'm going through right now. But James would disagree. Notice these four verses from the book of James. James 5:7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. That's it. That's a mention of the Lord's coming. James 5:8, do not give up hope because the Lord is coming soon. Don't give up hope. Be steadfast. James chapter 2, verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. The first time Jesus came, he came to save the world. Second time, he's coming to judge the world and to reward those who have followed him. James 5, verse 9, fourth, the judge is near, ready to appear. The judge is near, ready to appear. He's standing at the door. He's right there. Today, what I want us to do in this message is answer two questions. First, what will the last days be like right before Jesus comes back? What will those last days be like? We don't know when it's going to happen, but what are those days going to be like? And number two, how should I prepare for Jesus' second coming, even in the middle of all that's going on right now? Okay, so number one, what will the last days be like? Well, Jesus sums it up in Matthew 24, 21. New Jerusalem Bible, Jesus says, there will be great distress. Sound familiar? There will be great distress in the world at that time, unparalleled since the world began. It will be a time unparalleled stress in the world. Now, to know the details of the second coming of Christ, you can find Jesus' description in Matthew 24. Then Paul gives his description of the last days in 2 Timothy 3. And then Peter gives his description of the last days in 2 Peter 3. Now, these are long passages, but I want to read them to you because you need to know. And I want you, as I read these passages about what it's going to lead up to in the last days, some of these things are going on right now. Okay? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 7 to 14. He said this, there will be famines and earthquakes, and Luke adds epidemics or plagues in various places, but these are only the beginning of birth pains. This isn't it. He said, this is just the beginning. You will be hated and hurt because you're committed to me in the last days. So at that time, many will turn away from me and give up their faith. And they will betray each other and do hurtful things. And many teachers of false ideologies will appear and deceive many. Does that sound familiar? Because evil will increase in the world, many people will stop showing love to each other. There'll be less love in the world. But those who keep faithfully loving to the end will be saved. And the good news of my kingdom, this is Jesus talking, will be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation and group, and then the end will come. So that's some of the details from Jesus. Now here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. The last days will be very difficult times to follow Jesus. People will be self-absorbed, thinking only of themselves and money. They'll use their time in prideful self-promotion. That sounds like social media to me. And enjoy insulting and demeaning others. That sounds like the internet. They'll be ungrateful and ignore their parents. They'll, you know, push the elderly to the side. Nothing will be considered sacred or holy as they make fun of everything. Have you turned on the TV lately? What comedy's all about? They'll be unloving and unforgiving. And they will slander and gossip about others. And people will lack self-control of their impulses in the last days. He said, many will be cruel and violent, and they'll hate everything that is good. And people will recklessly do foolish things in pride. That's to the extreme. Be puffed up with ego, be addicted to lust, and love pleasure more than God. Does this sound familiar? They will claim to be spiritual, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. So we heard what Jesus said. We heard what Paul says. Here's what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. In the last days, there will be mockers who laugh at the truth. They laugh at the truth. And they ridicule you for being a believer because they are controlled by their feelings. In other words, I feel this, so it must be true. And evil lust. They just want to do every evil thing that they desire. Now, then Peter explains what's going to actually happen on the actual day of Christ's return. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. The day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief. So, since everything we see will one day come to an end, what kind of people should we be? That's the question I want us to think about. He said, okay, there's coming an end to history. And history's not circular. It's not going to go on forever. It will eventually shut down. Jesus is coming back. What kind of people should we be? And he says, we should live holy and godly lives. We should look forward to the coming day of God, and we should speed its coming. How do you speed the second coming of Christ? Well, we're going to look at that in a minute. But he says, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth that Jesus has promised, a world where goodness lives. Look at that verse, a world where goodness lives, and everything will be good. There will be no bad. It'll all be great. There'll be no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no sadness. He said, yeah, it's coming to conclusion, but he says it's going to be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth, and everything will be good. Goodness will live there. So, having read those three passages, are we living in the last days? Well, nobody knows. But we do know this. We're living in the later days. In other words, it's later than it's ever been before. 2,000 years have happened since that's been written. We're living in the later days, and it's later than ever been before, and we are closer to his return than it has ever been at any other time in history. And we do know that this generation right now is serious and seriously working toward finishing the task of having a believer and a Bible and the body of Christ, church, in every tribe of the world so that Matthew 24 will be fulfilled. Matthew 24, 14, Jesus says, and the good news of my kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation and group, and then the end will come. He's not coming back until everybody who he wants to have a chance to hear has heard the good news. You probably know that I've been asked to lead a global coalition called Finishing the Task, composed of thousands of mission agencies and churches who are committed to finishing this task as quickly as possible. And if you're listening to this and you'd like to be a part of Finishing the Task, contact us about being part of FTT, Finishing the Task. Now, three times in that passage where Jesus describes what it's going to be like in the last days before he comes back, three times in Matthew 24, he says this, be ready, be ready. So we don't know when he's going to come, but the Bible says, be ready. Are you ready? You say, well, I don't know if I'm ready or not. Well, how do you get ready? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because that's what James tells us how to do. How should I live in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back one day? How should I prepare for his coming? How should it affect how I live now, whether he comes back tomorrow or in a year or in 100 years or whenever? How should I live to prepare for his coming? James gives us, in the book of James, six practical instructions we're going to look at. But I also want you to see how every one of the things that James says, these instructions given by James, are repeated in other parts of the Bible, also as preparation steps for Jesus' return. So get out a pencil. Here are the six things you need to do, regardless of how long it takes for Jesus to come back. All right? Here's what James says. Number one, the first thing James tells you to do, since you know the end of the story, is this. Clean out the garbage in my life. Clean out the garbage in my life. You know, whenever you're going to have a guest at your house, what do? You pick up the garbage. You clean up the place. You straighten up. You tidy up because you want your home to be as nice as possible for your guest. Well, Jesus is coming, and you want to prepare your life for that event. Here's what James says, James 1, 20 and 21. Getting angry at things will never help you live the righteous life God wants. Did you hear that? Getting angry at whatever's going on in the world, going on in your life, all the stuff that's happened. He says, none of that's going to help you live the righteous life God wants. So he says, instead, get rid of all the filth and all the evil habits that you've learned. Then humbly accept God's word planted in your heart, because it could save your soul. He says, get the garbage out of your life. That's the first thing you need to do. So you need to do a little spring cleaning. Paul says the same thing in Colossians 3, 4 to 8. He says this, Christ is our life. And when he comes again, so he's talking about second coming. When he comes again, you will share in his glory. Did you know that? You're going to share in the glory of God when he comes back. But he says, because of that, put all evil things out of your life. Sexual sinning, doing evil, letting evil thoughts control you, wanting things that are evil, greed. He says, these are really serving a false God. These things make God angry. In your past evil life, you also did these things. But he says, but now that you're a believer and you know the end of the story, put these things out of your life. No more anger, no bad temper. And no doing or saying things to hurt others. And no using evil words when you talk. Did you notice how much of the garbage that's in our lives is an attitude? How many of those things I just mentioned are bad attitudes? Do you need to make an attitude adjustment because you know the end of the story? Now, a second thing James tells you to do, since you know the end of the story, is this. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ. James chapter 4, verse 5 and following, he says this, the spirit that God gave to live in us wants us for himself alone. So give yourselves completely to God. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Now, regardless of whether or not we're moving to the climax of history, regardless of whether Jesus is coming back tomorrow, or in some distant thing, that's good advice for any time of crisis or chaos. Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you. The Apostle John says it like this in 1 John 2:28. Continue to live in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. He says, stay connected, stay close to Jesus. You know, here's what's actually going to happen on the day that Jesus Christ come back. Did you know that there's going to be a transformation in you? 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. Yes, dear friends, we're already God's children. We're already God's children. And we can't even imagine what we're going to become when Christ returns. But we know that when he comes back, we're going to become just like him, for we will see him as he really is. You'll see him face to face for the first time. This hope, the fact that we know we're going to become like him the instant we see him, this hope causes us to keep ourselves pure, just as Christ is pure. Now, when we think of purity, we often think of like sexual sins and things like that. But pure in the book of James literally means just unpolluted. He says, you're not polluted by the world. You don't buy into the world's system. You don't buy into the world's biases. You don't buy into all the things that culture says are important. He says, keep yourself pure. That's the second thing you do. Because he said, one day he's coming back.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.